Since Muammar Gaddafi seized the reins of power in Libya at age 27, he's been called any number of things, and people have tried their best to understand what goes on behind this man's dark sunglasses. Reagan called him a mad dog, and his behavior since the uprising seems to support the idea that he's perhaps unhinged. But is he? Dr. Gerald Post joins us now, a professor of psychiatry, political psychology, and international affairs at George Washington University, author of Leaders and Their Followers in a Dangerous World, and a founding director of the CIA's Political Profiling Center. Dr. Post, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Help us first to kind of get an idea of who Gaddafi is. What can we tell about this man's mind based on his political rhetoric and his actions as a leader?
He's a remarkably complex individual who can be highly rational on the one hand and at times behave and perceive the world in very aberrant affections. As I've come to understand him, what helps explain this perhaps is that he has many characteristics of the so-called borderline personality. That's the borderline between sanity and insanity. And for the most part, he's over that border. But there are two circumstances when he can become quite out of touch with reality and behave in some very provocative fashions. That's A, when he's succeeding, and B, when he's failing.
Which would be one of the categories that describes the situation right now, Dr. Gerald Post. You know, in your study of Muammar Gaddafi, do you think in any sense that he had in his mind that this was the way he'd go out, that it would be some sort of cataclysm like this, where he'd be running around in a compound, avoiding fighters and delivering bizarre messages from some undisclosed location?
Certainly not. In fact, in his mind, the idea that he would be going out in any fashion was probably not part of his thinking. He sees himself as the beloved creator of Libya. In his mind, Libya is Gaddafi. Gaddafi is Libya.
Although, doctor, let me just say, I mean, you don't build an underground bunker if you are absolutely convinced that everyone loves you, right?
Well, there are perhaps some lessons learned from Saddam Hussein, and certainly he has never felt the West, the United States in particular, loves him. And one of the fascinating questions is, how can he be considering that his people love him when his people have been rising against him, and they are simply not his people? I was very struck as a speech in March where he said, "My people, they all love me. They love me. They love me. They will protect me." Those who are not supporting him or rising against him, they had hallucinogens slipped in their Nescafe by the West. They're crazed youth. They're really not his people.
And in fact, that was part of his rhetoric during a strange radio address we just got today from Gaddafi, wherever he is.
The tribes and youth of Tripoli, they all have to cleanse their areas. Where the rats may be hiding, cleanse your areas.
Those rats he's referring to are Libyans. Those are the rebels. Well, we're speaking with Dr. Gerald Post, who's a professor of psychiatry, political psychology, and international affairs at George Washington University. Doctor, is there anything that you can tell us about Gaddafi's personality that might let us know where he is? For example, do you think he would still be in Libya, or would he have fled?
No, I strongly believe he is still in Libya, and to the degree that he's hiding, that's until this current storm is over and his loyal people will rise up to support him. I think there's a lot of analogies with Saddam Hussein in this respect.
Well, what do you think then? I mean, if that's the case, then he would not even be considering exile. He would simply be trying to prepare for his comeback. Is that correct?
I believe that is correct. Yes.
All right, we're speaking with Dr. Gerald Post, who was a founding director of the CIA's Political Profiling Center. What can we learn in terms of profiling him that may help us to get Libya back on track? And the reason I ask this is because we've spoken with other reporters who've talked about his supporters as being brainwashed, that he took advantage of perhaps less educated people, perhaps the poor people of Libya, and brainwashed him. So how do we then go about helping those people transition in post-Gaddafi Libya?
Well, there has been a rather encouraging, initially a trickle and now a flood, of defectors. A leader really is a plural noun and implies at least one follower, after all. And the tie between leader and followers is extremely important. And that is a place that's been very important in the downfall of Saddam. Senior officials, both diplomats, UN officials, the entire Arab League delegation, in recent days a large company of the presidential guard defected en masse, so that while he won't give up, the people around him are fleeing. And to the degree they can find a soft landing, that's going to have him giving these statements about we will go down to the last drop of our blood, which he really does believe, but he will be increasingly isolated.
Dr. Gerald Post, do you think that Muammar Gaddafi at any point would face the difficulties ahead of him and take his own life?
I didn't hear you.
Do you think he would ever take his own life?
No, this is not a man who'll go to exile or take his own life. He has a strongly entrenched belief of a proud Arab warrior against superior forces. That's a major place in his psychology that is now fully engaged.
So coming to a spider hole near you, Muammar Gaddafi, like Saddam?
I think that is not impossible, not as an act of cowardice, but preservation until this evil inspired by the West and NATO is over with, and then his people who at heart are loyal to him and beloved him, they will return.
Dr. Gerald Post, professor of psychiatry, political psychology, and international affairs at George Washington University, author of Leaders and Their Followers in a Dangerous World. Doctor, thank you so much.
My great pleasure.